in the wake of last week's mass murder at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston. Efforts continue to remove the Confederate flag that for decades has flown on the grounds of the South Carolina State House. Not requiring legislative approval, Walmart, Sears, and eBay announced that they'll no longer sell items featuring the Confederate flag, though the flag continues to fly on the property of homeowners, including many above the Mason-Dixon line, as protected by First Amendment free speech entitlements. Let's get into it with Carolyn Marvin, Annenberg Communications Professor and the author of Blood Sacrifice and the Nation, Totem Rituals and the American Flag. Professor Marvin, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Very welcome.
So again, the Confederate flag has for decades flown on the grounds of the South Carolina State House, though that flag obviously dates back to the Civil War. How did it come to climb atop that flagpole?
The Confederate flag became much more visible in American culture, and particularly Southern culture, pretty much beginning in 1948. And what happened then was that Truman desegregated the armed forces and promoted anti-lynching laws. And it was very clear that the future direction of the country would be towards admitting African Americans to equal citizenship. And this was seen as a threat by lots of Southern legislatures whose governors were kept in place by their support from rural, conservative, mostly economically disadvantaged counties in which whites were majorities or blacks were disenfranchised. So in the 50s, with the Supreme Court handing down decisions about desegregation, and then in the 60s with the Civil Rights Movement, sort of that continuous period from 1948 up through the 60s, these Southern politicians perceived themselves as climbing on the bandwagon of Southern resistance to this new movement, and the Confederate flag was certainly a part of that.
Though what of proponents of the Confederate flag who argue that it is not really a litmus test on desegregation or anti-lynching measures, but rather honoring forebears who fought in that war?
Any flag is not language. It's an image. And because it's an image and it's not language, people can say that it means whatever they need it to mean at a certain period. But the history of the Confederate flag in terms of its association with Southern capitals and so forth has always been in response to progress in civil rights for African Americans.
I believe I'm paraphrasing political consultant James Carville, who decades ago said something to the effect that Pennsylvania is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Alabama in between. And so let's talk about the Confederate flag as it's flown above the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, I think it's very much a kind of an isolationist, anti-civil rights flag. I mean, certainly popular culture has made more lighthearted use of the Confederate flag.
Dukes of Hazzard comes to mind.
Yeah, that comes to mind. But that kind of nonconformity, resistance to big government, rural values, all that kind of stuff, that's in there. But it's never really without some reference to the Civil War and what that was all about.
Let's extend beyond the flag. Kentucky's Republican nominee for governor says the state should remove a statue of Jefferson Davis from that Capitol rotunda. And Tennessee lawmakers are calling for the removal of a bust of a Confederate general and early KKK leaders from an alcove outside that state Senate chamber. Where do you see this going forward?
I think the United States is gradually coming to the realization that official government speech really shouldn't celebrate a traitor nation. There'll always be a First Amendment right for individuals to wave whatever flag they want. But it seems to me very clear that with the retreat of, for example, Republican presidential nominees from the Confederate flag and so forth, is that we're seeing a real evolution in the fate of the Confederate flag.
Professor Marvin, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Very welcome.
Carolyn Marvin is an Annenberg Communications Professor, author of the book entitled Blood Sacrifice in the Nation, Totem Rituals and the American Flag.